Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wet Sox No Skate Podcast. I'm Eric Frick here with Andrew Nelson, and today, I've been really looking forward to this episode. Yeah. Today, we got a snow skate filmer, Nolly Big Spinner, Sega Dreamcast enthusiast, and the guy who made this intro music, Rob Provo. Rob, what's up, man?
It's good. It's good to be back into that snow skate bubble for a bit. I've been looking forward to get my head around the awkward and snow skating for a little bit.
Yeah, you've been out of it for just a little bit, but we're going to try to pull you back in, Rob.
All right. I might play the game.
Yeah. Back in. Totally. So let's start with how you got into snow skating. What sparked you starting to step on a snow skate?
Wow. That was a long time ago. I guess what got me into it? I think I remember seeing ads in Snowboard Magazine like back in 2001 or something like that. So it's been a while. I remember seeing like those good old GP Walker ads and who else? Like John Cardiel or something, like the good old premier plastic era.
Oh yeah.
And I think I actually asked my mom for a snow skate. Let's say early 2000, and me and my brother both got one, and obviously, like, I think if any of you guys remember those plastic models, there was like maybe one legit one. Every other shape or model were just super terrible, and like they would break after a couple sessions or get like so scratched that it was just terrible. But yeah, I don't know. I remember getting that and actually riding down the local ski hills, trying to do some like ride on rails on dead trees and stuff like that, and doing some. We obviously did some a lot of backyard back then, backyard snow skating.
Sure.
But yeah, that was, I think in 2001, and this was even before I actually met some of the people that I filmed with, like in AKWD and stuff like that. So this was like basically me and my brother trying to make those sketchy board work.
Sure. Sure. Now, your brother was eventually, I guess, part of Awkward, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. Everyone's kind of part of Awkward at some point. I mean, you got a clip, you're kind of part of it. So.
Sure.
Yeah, we did see him in a couple montage for sure.
And was that Sam?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Sam driving the truck in the beginning of Axe Sword, that classic clip.
Yeah, exactly. I guess he sort of changed his, how can I say that? He just, like, snow skating was fun, but, you know, going goon shit in a truck was funner for him. So we found a way to incorporate, to put that in the edit somehow.
For sure.
Yep.
So once you got those plastic snow skates, did you start to, like, get a wood snow skate or start snow skating with other people that were more into it?
That's a good question, actually. We rode those board for, I'd say like at least two or three full years. So they were like so terrible by the by the end of those 3 years. And then at some point I moved from the town I was in, like this little rural town, to where I lived as a teenager. And that's when I met with Dave and Dumb and some other people that I might have filmed in some montage. And those guys also had other snow skates. Like, they got some for Christmas at some point, but they had like even more terrible snow skates. you guys can maybe remember the name of the brand. What was their terrible, like
Fortress
half-pipe.
Or like
Fortress. Yeah, exactly. The like half pipe shaped board,
the 90-degree tails that were just super flexible, like you would like go down for an ollie and the tail would just like touch flat.
Yeah, they had terrible boards as well, but we rode those for maybe another season or two, and then at some point me and Alex Blay were chatting online, and we had this idea of putting on a snowskate zine, which is, what's the name of this? God. We might have to talk to Alex about it, but me and him set up this old Flash style website that had a interview with like Isaac Ebert and some other people. So I don't know what era was that, like 2004 or something like that? Like when Isaac did the Dark Slide and stuff like that. I don't know if you remember, you guys remember that?
I remember the clip, but not the year. So when you were talking with Alex, were you near Sherbrooke or where were you at?
Oh, no, I was in the town I was living in when I was in like high school was called La Plaine, which is basically like the plain or something like that.
Okay.
So there was like no hills anywhere, which makes snow skating a bit harder as well.
Yeah, it's not as fun.
But it was kind of far from where Alex lived, like maybe not that far, an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that. But we were basically, what happened is that we made this website and we thought that we could maybe get like either money or boards from Premiere if we put some ads in it. So we reached out with Andy. I think it was Andy running the website, running the company at that time. Andy, what's his last name?
Andy Wolf.
Yeah, Andy Wolf, exactly. And he agreed to send us two boards. So we received two wood boards, which was basically my first wood board, which I still have around, like a full-size Nate. What's last name? Nate. Like an old snowboarder guy with a... I had like the purple board with a Lamborghini or something.
Oh, the car on the bottom, yeah.
I remember that one.
So I got one of these, and Alex got a smaller GP Walker with the red car or the red bottom, something like that. So this was like the first wood board we had, and then the whole team was riding that single wood board for like maybe another season. So needless to say, we were very short on board back then. So yeah, that's when I transitioned to woodboard, and I think like the next winter the other guys also got like, I can't remember, Nate Bozong, some other modals, like just everyone got woodboard, but they got like the very 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 shitty one that would delaminate after like five sessions.
I think that was the 2005 year, that winter,
something like this. So they got terrible decks. So we I think we rode that purple snow skate, the whole team, for probably 3 years before, or 2 years, just right before Ambition actually started making prototypes and boards.
So when you were going out and riding with your friends, were you still putting content on the website that you made with Alex Blay?
No, I think that thing was a one-off, actually. We did that first issue. Maybe we started a second one. I can't remember that, but that was also around the era where people on the Premiere forum were trying to get together and make their own full-length movie. So, like even before Certain Death and stuff like that, there was this crew called Hair Club, which a lot of there was basically everyone was in Hair Club back then, and that never really worked. But we were trying to like get clips, I think, for that, but I think the camera I had at that point was like before mini DV, like VHS-C or something. So getting that on a computer was, that's why there's, I think, nothing before 2004 of AKWD or 2005, because it was just too hard to get footage on a computer at that point.
Sure. So you mentioned AKWD, which is your snow skate collective. How did that come about, and how did you guys settle on the name AKWD or Awkward?
I think around 2003, I actually, me and the my buddies from La Plaine, were trying to design board for like a snow skate company that would be called Skilled Snow Skate.
Okay.
Skills or something like that, which never see the light of day. But we were like making little graphics on Photoshop or Paint or whatever, And when we realized that this would never work out, we just like switched gear and just chose the exact opposite, which was like awkward snow skating or whatever. It was called awkward stuff at some point as well.
Okay.
But I think the fact that we are also kind of just like we were not that good, neither skateboarding or snow skating. We're not really taking ourselves seriously. We're just sort of trying to make the shit snow skate that we had work, you know?
Sure.
Just made everything very awkward and very sloppy. And we were like, you know what? Let's just embrace it. I don't exactly know when we started like reducing the word awkward to like the AKWD. But I think even from a French perspective, like French Quebecer's perspective, the word awkward is like kind of hard to spell or even like write down. So I think we just like scrap some letter and you know what? Fuck it. You know, let's make it even more awkward. Yeah.
Oh, that's sick. So as time went on and you're snow skating with the Awkward Collective, I mean, you eventually got into filming snow skating and filming for Ambition. Did you start having an interest in filming and taking photos of the snow skaters that you were riding with? Or did that just kind of happen organically and everybody else was kind of just shooting each other?
I think it happened sort of organically, but before filming snow skating, I did a couple of skate montage as well.
Okay.
And even from the first year I ever skated, I was the guy that could use his parents' camera, you know.
Okay.
I could like start shooting stuff on again VHS-C or something like that. And I used to make those very bootleg montage with like VHS decks trying to like press play and record at the good time while the camera is sending the like signal into the VHS deck, whatever.
Yeah, so, the VHS to VHS editing.
Yep. Yep, exactly. Classic.
Oh, super ghetto, but love it.
So I did a lot of that when I was younger. So I naturally transitioned toward like at some point when we were with Dom and Dave and Simon, or my brother, I was the one that had the camera. And actually, when did I bought this Optura 20, Canon Optura 20, maybe you know this model. It's like
familiar with it, yeah.
Kind of in classic skate perception type camera, like people used to recommend that camera for like low price sort of beginner entry camera. So I got that, which was the first mini DV camera I've got. And then I don't know, it just made sense to I like filming in itself, so it made sense for me to be the one shooting with my buddies in La Plaine. But all the Ambition stuff happened kind of later on. I mean, before even meeting with the whole Ambition team, I actually met with Josh Chéguin and the guys from Quebec, like Maxime Bernier-Tremblay, Robbie Gobeil, Émile Baron. So there was this sort of phase where Ambition didn't really exist, but we were still trying to film for like either the Quebecer movie or the Awkward montage, I guess.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So you were a part of filming for Quebecers?
A little bit. I actually filmed for only one of their... I have a part in one of their movie, which is... I think it's not Tabarnak. It might be the Quebecer one, you know? The Quebecer movie from the Quebecer team.
Yeah, the self-titled one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think I have a part in that one. And then I might have had like a few clips in like the French section for the other one.
Sure.
But we were trying to do our own thing as well at the same time. So I didn't want to like send all my footy to the Quebecer buddy, even though they made out very good stuff during those years.
Sure. So do any of those old Awkward montages, 2007 and earlier, still exist?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Actually, no, I don't need to pull this up right now, but maybe if you, I can send you some very old one for the website or something.
Yes, that would be awesome. Yeah, we can link them in the show notes when we publish the podcast, and we can put them a couple different places, but that would be super cool to see and share.
Yeah, I think I have some, like, I still have some old clip from maybe 2004, like, some very bootlegish Animal Collective based montage that I have. But yeah, I'll send you guys that for sure.
So I definitely want to talk more about Animal Collective later, but you were into Animal Collective and using them for edits all the way back to 2004?
I think so. I'm trying to... Wait, so the first ever Awkward montage didn't have any Animal Collective in it, but I'm pretty sure I have one that's like more of a, you know, short montage of like a day's worth of footage that, you know what, didn't really have any particularly good trick in it, but the whole vibe of the day or something, or just like us messing around on whatever weird obstacle we got. And I'm pretty sure I have some with like either We Tigers or like what song, like some really weird psychedelic song from Animal Collective.
No, that's cool, because they were definitely not the Animal Collective that we know today back in like 2004. Yeah, they had the 2004 album that was pretty big, Sung Tongs, I think. But even then, that was nowhere close to Meriwether Post Pavilion and everything that happened after that. So that's interesting that you were into them and using them that early.
Yeah. Actually, now that I think about it, I got to know them because of a fellow snow skater that I don't think no one really remember his name, Tommy Foran.
I don't
even know if he ever filmed or anything, but I was chatting with this guy on MSN Messenger back then, and we were just like, I don't know, being teenagers and sending each other music and stuff like that. And all the stuff he sent me was like Animal Collective, The Unicorn. So back to the first ever Awkward montage, I think there was a lot of The Unicorns in it.
Okay.
So a lot of my musical choice were actually influenced by that particular guy that was in the Hair Club crew. And even the music that I listen to today is heavily influenced by this guy, actually, now that I think about it.
Oh, wow. Very cool. So moving on, when Ambition started to become more of a thing, not just the clothing company, but start to make boards, how did you get involved with the Ambition guys and filming for what ultimately became True Color?
Well, me and Alex were kind of talking on a regular basis, I mean, back then. So I think I sort of knew that Ambition was going to become something at some point. And I was still, I think I was going at to snowskate with the guys in Sherbrooke back then. So it was sort of, even before Ambition went big and had like the whole team, I think I was still kind of filming / writing, hanging out with those guys. So I don't know, this was very organic. But I remember the first year that the whole team showed up in Montreal for the first ever Ambition team trip. There was this new skate plaza in town that just opened over the summer, and everyone was like, oh, it's going to be like a street style skate park, blah, blah, blah. And then people were talking about it on the forum that everyone should come, blah, blah. And this is the day that I decided to go and film with those guys in Montreal. I don't think I was living in Montreal at that point. I was still living in the suburbs.
Okay.
So me and some of the boys, I think actually Dom and Dave were with me. We just went there at the skate plaza that we also heard of, that was supposed to be this great skate park.
Okay.
And when we arrived there, the whole team was there, and it was just this actually terrible skate park. It was like the most badly designed, sort of two steep banks, like very low ledges for no good reason, just very bad design, badly designed. But we decided to ride this this park for like the whole day, basically, and I had my camera with me, so I started filming clips for True Color that exact day, just grabbing some shots here and there of I think Nick Stefani was there, Phil Smaggi, who was there? Oh, Alex Crowcroft was there, definitely.
Okay.
Damn, I can't remember. I don't think Alan was there. But there was definitely some OG Ambition rider there. And that, I think this marked the first day that I ever started filming with those guys.
Okay. And was this the same park with the down flat down ledge that I think Stefani nose pressed it?
No, that was actually more up north in the suburbs, kind of closer to where I live. This
okay.
In Blainville or something like that. This was actually a decent skate plaza.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think the guys went there like 2 years in a row, but this was not it. Let me try to think of a trick that got landed there. Maybe if you can remember, there's like, it's not like such a big trick, so it's, I don't know if you have any clear vision of that, but it's in this graffitied skate park where I think Phil Smaggi does like a, like he's on a bench and he just does a little flat to, like flat gap ollie to tail press and then flip out or something, or maybe flip in flip out on this like weird squarish bench thing. Okay. I don't know, it's not a very memorable clip, not as the down flat down nose press.
Okay. Now that, okay, so that may have been the park that Alan did the Wally 180 switch.
Exactly.
50, the 180 out. Yeah, okay.
So
okay.
Actually, you know what? He was there that day.
Okay.
Because I remember him doing it. So, yeah, he was there, and I think this was actually either I filmed this or Nick, or Stefani filmed this, but might have been me. Wow, that's like 15 years ago. Can't remember exactly.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So were you a part of, I know that there were these, other than that initial trip to the skate park with like a lot of the team riders that were up there, were you going on like team trips with Ambition, and was there like a formal filming arrangement for Ambition at that time? Or were you...
Oh, no, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, was that the case, or was it still just pretty loose, you just going out and filming with friends and stuff?
It was pretty loose, actually, for those first few years. Like, for True Colors, I remember just, like, I think basically asking for a couple boards.
Okay.
For me and the team, actually, just so we could be able to still ride on decent boards.
Sure.
And I think I just sent them, like, probably a lot of footage for Josh's part. I think mm-hmm. I have a couple clips in there, too. I went to Stefani's place in Burlington a couple of times, so we did get some clips there of either Nick or Crowcroft. But it was very just like me going to like Nick's place for a weekend, like no arrangement or nothing. We just like snow skate and chill, or sure. Going to Quebec City. I think it became more serious when, let me try to remember. Like, I know that for Encore, I think I filmed a lot. I need to just go back and see the video's name. Give me a second.
Sure.
But there was like two or three year where it was actually more serious and more focused, where I spent like most of my winter filming snow skating.
Okay.
Let me see. I have all the names. So True Color definitely filmed a bit for that. Snow Skate Alien filmed a lot for that. I think Skrill Crinton is maybe the one that I... No, Skrill I filmed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Jam Pack, Safari Time, I remember. Let's Play, some of it. I think I have some clips in Sava as well. But actually, you might be able to help me. Like, what year did I come down to Minneapolis to film?
That was winter of 2011 and 2012, the year that you guys were filming for Safari Time.
Oh yeah, and actually now that I see like that little snippet of Safari Time on the Ambitions website that has this very like 8mm kind of look, I think that was definitely, I remember using some of that footage from Alan, so
mm-hmm.
yeah. So I think Safari Time and perhaps Krill Clinton were the 2 years where I was most active as a, let's say, Ambition filmer.
Sure. So you mentioned that you were in the suburbs of Montreal, but then you eventually moved into the city.
Yep.
So when you moved in, you were living with Josh and some of the other awkward guys, right?
I lived mostly with Josh and some other like some other buddies, but the only snow skater that I lived with was really Josh.
Okay.
We did get a lot of our friend into snow skating at some point, just because we had like spare boards and we wanted to have new buddies to film with us. But yeah, I actually lived with Josh for 4-ish years.
Okay.
Maybe even 5-ish years. And I got this got us both motivated to go out and ride and film and try new stuff.
Sure. Tell me about living with Josh. Josh is a very interesting character. So what are some of the stories for living with Josh Segay for 4 years?
Oh, God. where to start? I guess we got to keep in mind that when I just moved to Montreal with Josh, basically all of my buddies were still living in the suburbs. So Josh was really my one sort of good friend that I would hang out with on a daily basis. We eventually had a band together, so we spent a lot of like snow skating, but also creating like creative time together. And Josh has this just unique way of, you know, seeing the light of the day. I don't even know how to say that, but he just has this very unique perspective on things. And as much as he can be goofy, let's say, in this snow skate park, he has this very deep, resonance with life around him. So yes. I don't know. He's just a special guy. I can try to think of a special story or two. Well, I don't know if you've ever been to a Psychic City, Eric?
No, I've not.
No? Well, it's just for people that I guess no one really knows what Psychic City is. It's this weird jam space that we had on the main Saint-Laurent Boulevard in Montreal that we basically like spent 2-3 nights every week jamming there. And it was this crazy creative space in a kind of very dirty basement, actually, but there was like a couple of band people doing art there, and I don't know, I can just remember fondly all the nights that we were there, either after a snow skate session or just jamming music. I don't know, lots of creative time with Josh. I actually miss that sometimes.
For sure. Yeah, I haven't spent a lot of time with Josh, but just the small amount of time that I have spent with him, it's clear that he is just an incredibly creative and charismatic dude. Like you said, he has a unique ability to, you said, like see the light of day and, you know, create almost something out of nothing. You summed it up when you said he's a special person. He's really cool.
Yeah. Actually, I might have one thing to add up about him, to add about like his lifestyle.
Yeah.
For people that, I guess not a lot of people know that, but Josh actually studied, archaeology and anthropology. And like I remember him during his school years being like very passionate but also sort of detached from the whole like academic worldview and stuff like that, and he was always at sort of conflicted between what we're supposed to know about like the human being and what's it's left behind, like what we're being thought and what could be possible if we go out of like the white man historical point of view, you know, white,
sure,
European. I don't know. He always had just such a way to see things differently. And yeah.
No, for sure. So back into snow skating.
Yep.
Talk about filming for Snowskate Aliens and that process, because at least from a viewing standpoint, True Color felt very serious, whereas Snowskate Aliens felt a lot more fun, a lot more loose, relaxed. Did you feel that way during the filming of that video, or did both videos feel the same from your perspective, filming-wise?
You know what? I'm actually going to talk while watching the video a little bit.
Sure.
Wow, actually seeing some of my clip right there. No, this is going to be distracting if I keep on looking at it. I think True Color was, what Nick and Alex had in mind for True Colors, just to like make a comparison, mm-hmm. Was that they wanted to make a very clear sort of statement about what snow skating can be, mm-hmm. especially like on a sort of from a skateboarder perspective, you mm-hmm. know, like from like just having an efficient way of showing back to back like clean tricks. And it's obviously like very, it did very sharply with like the music and making sure that everything is sort of on a pro level. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it just wanted to make like a clear statement that snow skating could be taken seriously. And I remember chatting with, Nick Stefani about it and how, he himself would have, I think, preferred a more laid back approach to snow skating. Like mm-hmm. the guy was kind of into more hippie stuff back then, like even sure. from the music and just from his vibe. Not actually, maybe not hippie, just like a more relaxed sort of, I don't know, don't care about anything type mm-hmm. guy. And I resonated with that actually, even from just filming the awkward stuff that, you know, if what we get on camera is either funny looking or visually interesting or I don't know, just fun to watch, then it's worth putting somewhere.
Yes.
So I think he did approach the editing with that and putting a lot of his own artistic. I'll call that artistic filming into it as well. Like there's a lot of stuff that he literally just filmed for the hell of it and mm-hmm. found a way to integrate it into the edit. I think for my part, it was a more natural way of filming things
sure.
than trying to film for like True Color or, Skrill Clinton or whatever. It was just like, I can get kind of weird shot. I don't mind if stuff looks kind of weird. In the end, we just want people to see the fun and the weirdness of snow skating. So I don't know. It felt more natural with me. I don't think I had to do any sort of conscious choice about how I would film these clips. I would just go very freely and with a good attitude.
Sure.
Yeah.
So around this time, your the Kids on Holiday montage, 2010, that was the same year as Snow Skate Aliens, it didn't seem that there was any footage overlapping from Aliens to Kids on Holiday, whereas moving forward to the 2011 year, Axe Sword, still one of my favorite snow skate videos ever, you used a lot of the footage that was in Skrill Clinton in your video as well. So was that something that was done consciously to have that footage kind of overlap a little bit?
I think the other side was actually conscious, like to not have anything overlap in Skrill Clinton and not Skrill Clinton, Snow Skate Alien and Kids on Holiday.
Okay.
Because I think the boundary was, they were a little less clear whether I could even do overlapping footage. And so I sent a lot of the stuff. I was like, you know what? I'm going to send this to Alex, or actually Nick, or, you know, he's going to do whatever he wants. I'm going to keep what's mine and let's have a clear division.
Mm-hmm.
But as the years went by, you know, we were, not that it was a less professional relationship between me and Alex, but it just become looser, like whatever, you know, awkward's fun, ambition is this.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there's some overlap, you know, whatever. And again, at the end of the day, awkward's kind of my little creative baby or something, creative child. And mm-hmm. I can do what the fuck I want with it. So,
yeah, totally.
So we appreciate it when you do what the fuck you want with
it.
Oh,
yeah.
Really great.
We do, and everyone does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that that going forward, especially after I think, was it Taste before that? You remember that Taste montage?
Yeah, the 2009, I think. I don't know if I have the title, yeah, but yes.
I think it's Taste. I think especially going forward, like to the like later years from 2012, 2013, it really just like made no sense to restrain my brain or my creative process because I've sent clip to like Ambition. Like they never really cared, I think, that I would be overlapping footage. Mm-hmm. And in the end, I just wanted to make like some interesting montage and something that's fun to watch and that gives a more, you know, maybe snow skate alien type vibe to the montage where we were just like hanging out, having fun. You know what? Maybe mm-hmm. we went out one day, didn't get a single clean trick, but we had fun. So there's probably something that we can put in there to make this fun, you know, have a memory or have a sort of a feeling of this fun.
Yes. Yeah. And that was captured so well. I mean, just the first like minute of Axe Sword is so great. Just your brother Sam in the truck driving, you know, Josh and I think it's Dumb around on the back, doing tail presses behind the truck and then skating that skate park. I think it's Dumb. I don't know your friends that well, but just getting wrecked on that box and just like the craziest tricks, the weirdest cuts, and then that like you overlap with like, oh my lord, that was steez, just like these funny things that come through that make it clear that okay, snow skating isn't that serious or doesn't have to be that serious. There's a lot of fun involved with it, and I think you captured that honestly better than anyone.
Well, thank you. That's what I was aiming to do, and I guess there's so many clips when you just see people smiling and even they just fell on the ground after doing some silly shit and they're just like laughing mm-hmm. about the whole silliness of this sport, you know, this sport that we love, but mm-hmm. also that, you know, you go outside, you freeze your ass off for like 2 hours trying to get a board slide mm-hmm. and it's just like, what am I doing? But there's something that, you know, keeps us going out and just, you know, fall in the snow and do some silly stuff.
For sure. Yeah, and on silly stuff, the teaser that you made for Axe Sword, the old dirty bastard cut in like 480p, just like super low quality with bad text titles. And oh, it was the best. And the fact that you hyped it up as selling it as an edit without Animal Collective was just so funny.
I actually need to go and watch this again. I think, is it still on YouTube?
That one's still on your channel.
Teaser. Yeah.
And anybody who doesn't know Rob's channel, it's Le Rabot. Am I saying that right, Rob?
Yeah. It's a French word. So Le Rabot is good, or Le Rabot is good.
Okay. And what is Le Rabot?
Actually, it's like a rabot is a woodworking tool.
Okay.
It's made to I don't even know how to say that in English. It's made to like even out wood.
Like a planer.
And my father is a woodworker. So okay. I don't know. At some point I think we were like messing with my name, Robbie, Robot, Rabo, whatever, and it just like sticks somehow.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? Give me a second, I'll watch that.
Yeah, for sure.
Crippler. Yeah, I might be laughing a bit over.
That's all good. Yeah, for everyone at listening, it's LeRabot to find his channel because you guys need to go back and watch all of his OG snowskate videos. And I'll see if I can convince Rob after the podcast to put some of the unlisted ones back to public because some of those videos are very important.
You know what? Actually, I was watching the wrong teaser. I was watching the one where Chance is actually freestyling. I don't know if you remember that.
Vaguely. Oh, man. I haven't seen that in forever, though.
It's on the blog, but okay. Okay, I'll just watch the actual Dirty Bastard. Oh, God. This teaser is freaking crazy. Yeah, I remember making this in, like, half an hour and just laughing my ass off while doing it.
Oh, it's still
doing some pickup stuff.
Still so good. Yeah. So with your video production, You mentioned you just made that teaser really quick, but it still captures that fun vibe. When you're making videos like Axe Sword and Isolard Cripplers, are you putting a lot of time and effort into the more fun shots, or are you just kind of putting them up into a timeline and maybe doing something funny like cutting audio or like cropping in on something digitally so it's all pixelated? Like, do you do a lot of this stuff consciously and put a lot of effort into it, or do you kind of just do it once and move on?
I think for that Old Dirty teaser, this took very little time. But for all the other, even like the one that are more silly, like Axe Sword or Crippler, there's actually a lot of time going into the video. It's an interesting process. I remember, like, you know, using a song that I liked or that I listened while snow skating and putting like a timeline together quite quickly for some sections where, I don't know, stuff just flows, either because we had a lot of good shots from like this particular session, or, you know, there's section that got built very quickly, but depending on the song or depending on the mood of certain section, you might remember the part in Icelord Crippler where there's this Neutral Milk Hotel song that's like kind of Clune-esque or something. This was kind of like a headache to edit. It does seem very random, but the mix of like slow-mo, super over-the-top music, silly trick was a real puzzle to edit in the end. And it, I don't know, I think it's the weakest part of that edit, to be honest. But I think that it also showcased like how much silliness you can put in like a single day of snow skating. And it, like, I don't know, lasts over 3 minutes in the edit or something like that. But I don't know. I think for most video, the core section, they don't take that long to edit. It's all the details, like even coming up with the silly font. Like, I know it sounds stupid, but like, I didn't want to just put in a single font and just call it a day. I wanted to make it our own, or make it in a way that it would be memorable to this sort of edit, you know?
Sure.
I think even in Axe Sword, at some point, I wanted to like give those fantasy type classes to everyone. So like, I think Josh was the jester.
Yeah.
So you would have like Joshua Seguin jester with like a sort of a Clune-esque gif there.
Low quality gifs. They were the best.
So I remember that there was something like this. I think it got scrapped out, but there's definitely how can I say that? There's definitely some part where I tried to put some emphasis on the funniness of it, as you said, like some silly zoom, something that you might have not catched in the background, where, I don't know, someone just slips on his board while someone is writing something seriously, or just doing like silly shove it in the background. I don't know, but I do notice that I took time to put some emphasis on the whole silliness and the funness of it. Definitely.
And I don't know if anybody else watches snow skate videos nearly as much as I do or references them, but there are so many good quotes in those two videos, like your homie at Olympic Stadium saying bitch ass. That's a great one. Whoever's filming you and Axe Sword for a little bit, the music cuts down and just like angrily yells at you like, what are you fucking doing? Like, what? Some of those, like,
I don't remember.
Yeah, you're just like, you're running like alongside your board and you jump it on and the filmer's just like, what are you fucking doing? Like, it's just so good. I still quote that way more often than I should, as people in my life can attest to, but I don't know, it really captured the fun of snow skating and produced something really special.
Yeah, and to that point, I kind of wanted to ask, how different is filming, trying to capture those moments, is different to say when you're not on the camera?
When I'm not in front of the camera, or
Like, is that stuff that typically still happens, or is it something that
it definitely happens all the time. Like, there's some session, I'm trying to remember, there's one called we did capture a video about it, but the video just, okay, let me try to just get the name so it puts people into perspective. There's this session where me and them, and it's actually all in French, so I guess a lot of people never got that, but it's like this session where we were writing at like 0 degrees Celsius, and it was like a weird, icy, slushy day. And I remember this whole session was basically just me and them talking about the weather, how like shitty and weird, and how snow skating is so weather dependent. And it just went on as we took the camera and started filming. So I guess a lot of the sessions we had were just like us saying dumb stuff and just being silly. And I don't know, maybe that's why it's so apparent in the movie or in the clips, even though
just the authenticity of it. It just feels like you're there. It feels like something, it's been a big inspiration definitely for me and Eric. So like, shout out to that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Actually, it's kind of, it's not sad, but there's a lot of the earlier one where we say the same type of quotes and, you know, dumb stuff, but in French, and it's a lot of them, we've been saying them for years afterward as well, even though we filmed it and it's our quotes. Yeah. Like one of the very famous one from, I know I have this on camera. Is it even in a montage? That's a good question. But there's one where we were filming on an ice rink, like just too late. Like I think it was like midnight at that point. I don't even know if there was light still. And I just remember that we just used all of the batteries we had. You know, like we had three extra batteries, all dead. And the last one, I think Dom was trying like a fakie 360 shove it. Like something that, you know, just a flat ground fakie 360 shove it. Mm-hmm. And there's, you can just hear me say something like, what's this? I think I'm seeing something flashing. He's like, what are you talking about? Like, oh shit, the last battery's going out or something like this. But it was just like so funny in perspective that we were trying so hard to get this stupid clip. And every time after we're like, dumb, I'm seeing something flashing. And this basically marks the end of every session now. You know, like, I think something's flashing. You know? Anyway, I don't know.
Oh, that's
lots
great.
Of funny quotes. Yeah.
All right. Before we move on from Axe Sword and Ice Lords, that clip of Dumb trying to drop in on that almost vertical bank, it's like straight to his tailbone. That looks so painful. Like he didn't even stand up. He didn't put any snow on the bottom of it. He just like slid down just like straight to his butt. It was such a good clip.
See, this is exactly a dumb snow skate style session, you know? There's very, like if you look closely at any of his clip, it's always like you look at the spot and you're like, if anything happens on this spot, it's a keeper. Like it's just so ridiculous. Like this drop, I think he like went up this steep wall like maybe 6 or 7 times. And the first 3 times he just stood there, and basically the cliffs were just us together talking nonsense, me being like, should I call the ambulance right now or should we do it after? And he's like, if you're saying something, I don't know, just us talking nonsense like throughout the whole process. This is could have been something that I added in the edit as well. I can't remember what other bullshit we were saying. It was like, I don't know, I can't remember. It was just so dumb.
Yeah, those dumb clips are so good. Like the there's that one where he like power ollies onto like that monument and it just eats his entire board. Like this is like the whole top of that like brick monument thing is just like all red from those red ambitions back in the day.
Yes, exactly. That's again, another clip where, you know, there's other option with that spot that you can do. And his option is to like board slide down that like weird steep thing. And I think there's even a bell before the lander where like he just hangs up on top and just, I don't know, he slams like 10 foot down that thing. And I remember at this point we're like, is this your keeper? And he's like, oh, come on, I can try one more, you know, like even just considering this is keeper is, I think, a statement of like awkward snow skating. Like I committed to this spot. I did some, I performed onto this spot. is this performance? This performance enjoyable enough for you? If yes, that's the keeper.
Oh, it's the best, and it's such a fun way to look at snow skating.
Yeah.
But for filming not only awkward videos, but also for the other ambition videos, what are some of the challenges of snow skate filming? Because honestly, snow skate filming is terrible. It's super cold, takes forever, very condition dependent. So what was that process like for you, and what were some of the struggles that came along with it?
I think the first thing that you got to keep in mind is, even though, you know, we've all been through this, like snow skating can really be a bitch depending on the weather, just like you said.
Mm-hmm.
I think my good moments snow skating were all about like being optimistic about, you know what, we're going to go there. We're going to try to shovel the spot and do something great. And you know, it's just another day at the office. Might have said that in a video, you know, like some days goes well, some days goes bad.
Sure.
But I think the mindset is really, if you cannot stay positive about getting a couple of clips or at least like some silly stuff, then it's not going to work out for you.
Sure.
otherwise, I think when I transitioned from using skate shoes to actual snow boots was quite a big improvement in my filming career, I would say.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, so keeping your feet dry is also very good for your mental state, I guess, as a snow skate filmer. But I don't know, I've never really took it too seriously. For me, filming was something that was something that was supposed to be enjoyed, you know, like maybe mm-hmm. there's a lot of crew out there where it's just like everyone likes to skate and no one likes to film, or some people likes to film, but mm-hmm. I always liked filming more than snow skating almost, you know, so I do love snow skating. I don't care not being filmed while snow skating, but I do like filming in itself, and filming snow skating was always a fun challenge and a fun thing. You know, making those goofy thing look fun was kind of a challenge, but also just a very fun act in itself.
Sure.
I think filming is only one part of it. I think since I was able to make all those montage as well, you mm-hmm. know how I guess some people film for the ambition movie or for something that is not their own. I think this was also a thing where every session could have I've clip that I can use for either one of my montage, you know. So
sure.
I don't know. Even though it got to like a quote unquote professional level, I think I kept sort of that awkward friend vibes to it, and it that combined with like a good pair of boots and being optimist was sort of the key ingredient to keeping me sane. But it was hard. Sure. I gotta admit, it was art at some point, and I think you might have been there at a couple of time where I honestly was like, what the fuck am I doing getting my socks wet again today for the, you know, 20th day in a row.
Yeah, because that was that trip to Duluth in Minneapolis when we first met, and when you were out filming and snow skating with Josh for a while. You were in the UP as well, but so you've gotten to go a few different places from the snow skate filming, right? Other than that trip?
That was my biggest trip, to be honest. Okay. So like going to Minnesota and then doing sort of the northern, like central area of the U.S. Mm-hmm. But I did go a bunch of time to Vermont and Maine, Quebec City, or Sherbrooke, but this was really the biggest trip I think I took for snow skating.
Okay. Yeah, that was for filming Safari Time and then what ultimately became Ice Lord Cripplers. But after that, we haven't seen anything, Rob.
Yeah, I don't think so. I did, I think, get a few clips that I sent to Alex for whatever came after. Let me look real quick.
Let's play. I remember those clips. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's play. But yeah, it's been so. If 2013's my maybe last official day, it's been 6 years already.
Yeah, it's been a while. What made you decide to not really want to film or not snowskate much anymore?
I think a lot of things sort of not, how do you say that, coincide? Is that a word?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of things like got it, not in the way, but I went back to university mostly. Okay. to do interactive media.
Okay.
So this took a lot of my time that winter. And to be honest, let's say in 2013, it was also a great motivator to go on trip with these people to film. Now that I was like stuck in Montreal with, like, I think I filmed a couple shot with Josh, but just having less of a, you know, like a clear motive to film, just because there were less people, I think, sort of pulled me out slowly but surely.
Sure.
I know that for the following years, like up until maybe 2 years ago, I did meet with at least Alan or Nick or someone that came up north.
Oh, cool.
And then we did film like for fun, you know, or just went to Mont-Royal and wrote down. But I remember also, actually last year I went to the, what's it called? The Barbe Gazi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, I mean, it was nothing. It was basically like a barrel that you could ride onto and like a little box on the floor. But me and Josh went just for the hell of it. And it was a good way for us to remember our old performances together.
That's interesting. I had no idea. I know that they haven't had the competition at Barbe Gazi for at least a couple years now, but I didn't know they still had a little snowskate demo area there.
Well, even saying snowskate demo is kind of generous, really, of what it is. I think Alex might be like sending them some boards just for people to try.
Okay.
But there was this like one guy that maybe rode a couple of times that was showing kids how to ride it, but it, like when we got there and we just started warming up, people were like, oh, the show is starting, you know? But yeah, we were in no good shape to do like anything crazy, but we did push ourselves quite a bit, honestly, to try to just do some, you know, half impressive, half goofy trick. So that was fun. But yeah, it's been a while since I've been actively in the game.
Sure. So you mentioned going to school for interactive media. Yep. What are you doing with that, and where has that led you?
Oh, God. I actually started that, let's say, around 2013 and stayed in that school up until maybe 2015. And then I, again, sort of organically dropped out of that as well.
Okay.
But that, not because I didn't like it, mostly because I've had sort of opportunity elsewhere. I started working in Fab Labs. I don't know if you guys know.
No, not Fab familiar. Labs
it's a fabrication laboratory. So basically you have access to a bunch of digital fabrication tools like 3D printer, laser cutter, embroidery machine, stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And I just got involved into this sort of digital fabrication thing, and I got into programming and electronics and stuff like that, and I've been in that sort of field ever since, trying to mix sort of paid contracts, gig for more corporate stuff with a more personal artistic practice as well. So I'm trying to like balance those two out. But yeah, it got me working with a lot of different technology, doing like interactive projection, or like recently did an interactive table where the food on the table is creating or generating music based on the food color and the food position and stuff like that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's very different.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds wild, but yeah, super cool. And does that relate to your making music at all?
See, that's just another of my interests that also I kind of like fade out of. That I don't know. I made music for a couple of years, both with Josh in this band called 2 Year Carnival.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started doing electronic music, more like hip-hop style beat that mm-hmm. I guess some of your listeners are now familiar with.
Yes, via our intro music that you graciously let us use. Yep.
Yes, of course. No problem. So, I've done some music for a while, but I think there's a link to discuss about with even how I got out of filming in general. Like, I think all those media, like filming and doing little montage or music,
mm-hmm.
like I get a part of my life where I'm super excited to do those and feel that I can really experiment with the medium. Like even the edits that I did for AKWD were, I guess some people will call those experimental or something, but or even when you ask me if there was a lot of thought put into like even those weird silly edits, yeah, well, mm-hmm. yes, you know, there's they were part of my creative practice or something for a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and then eventually I got sort of bored out with video editing mm-hmm. as a thing or even filming. I'm starting to get back a bit into like using a camera as a tool, you know.
Okay.
But music also, that's what happened with music. Like I made some music with a very specific machine and with a specific workflow for a couple of years, and eventually I got, I guess, bored or burned by this specific workflow.
Sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, we know that your number one creative influence of all time is one of our favorite artists, Jalen Tuna.
He was a very influential person on my career. Yeah.
How do we even explain Jalen, Rob?
He's one of the greater mystery about this world.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's just this guy. Should we even get into that? Like, I don't know. When I was
we don't need music, to go deep into it, but
I can do a little quick thing. Basically, I started making music on these samplers called a Roland SP-404, whatever. There's a family of these tools, and like snow skating, a lot of the people used to hang out on forums. So mm-hmm. I remember visiting the old SP forum and finding all this great, weird, electro, hip-hop, beat type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, Jalen Tuna, was really a standout from all the production that was being done there.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this very weird persona slash just vibe around him.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know. He made very great beats, and at some point started singing over them, and at this very weird. I don't know. Maybe we were talking about this, but like I used to call him like the bluesman of trash hip hop or something like that. You know, like just this like very soul felt. I don't know how to say that. He just like felt what he was saying a lot.
Yeah, he had no filter at all.
Yeah.
He was saying a lot of questionable stuff, especially about his ex-girlfriend, but it was still amazing at the same. I still listen to Jalen Tuna stuff. He was incredible.
Yeah. He was a very raw being, I would mm-hmm. say.
Yes.
Definitely influential to some of the stuff that I've done.
And featured in awkward videos, I Slurred Cripplers.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's at least one song. I think the last song, maybe not the last song, but there's one definitely the one where it's like the New Year's Eve.
Yep.
Section. Let's call it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Snowing in Tahoe. Always snowing in Tahoe.
Yep.
So one of your other creative endeavors is messing around with the Sega Dreamcast. Tell us about that.
See, this actually started maybe at the same time as I started snow skating somehow, because the Dreamcast came out in 99, something like this, the early 2000. And for people that are not too much into video games console, it's Sega's last console ever. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of the very revolutionary at the time. I guess we say this now about every new device that come out, even though most of them are just like a slight upgrade of whatever you're used to. But this at the time was sort of a Dreamcast device on its own, you know, like and it's a device that got me into hacking in general. Like I remember trying to connect to the internet with that console when I was like 10-year-old, and it was hard and I couldn't really figure it out, but I got to like again look on some forums to figure that shit out and find like a bunch of IRC chat about like Dreamcast hacking and making your own game. And this always stood like at the back of my head for a while, you know, like how can you actually do this, you know, make a game, create content that you put on a CD and the console just magically put it up on screen. Like how the hell does that work, you know? And it's only like 4 years ago that I got to compile my first code for the Dreamcast after researching, you know, like doing some mild research every now and then for like at least the past 10 years or something. And then every time like trying to figure out from these old forum how the heck you actually like make things appear based on this console, you know? So I don't know. It was always a challenge, I think, for me back from when I was super young to be able to like create content on this machine that is also the forever last machine that Sega ever made. So there's this sort of poetic aspect to it as well, to be part of this thing that got me into hacking, you know, almost 20 years ago now.
Sure. Alan tells a really good story about, I don't remember when he was hanging out with you, but you had hacked a Dreamcast to be able to access the internet, and you had pulled up the old AKWD website on the Dreamcast, and every picture took like 5 minutes to download, and you were describing the photo that was about to download before it was downloaded and just hyping up every image and just making the whole thing an experience. Oh, I would have loved to have been there for that. Sounds so good.
Well, you know what? Now that you're just bringing that up, I can't remember the exact moment. I can sort of visualize it a little bit, but I think I should try to reenact this somehow one day.
Oh, please do.
You know, like do a Dreamcast performance where we're trying to bro something on the internet, and the fact that I know the content makes the content more interesting. You know, like how can the human being sort of hyped up, I don't know, and hyping performance is something that I would be interesting in doing.
Oh, but that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's something you can still do now, like access the internet with that console, and it's crazy, like people started making services like Xbox Live type of thing where you can have like friends online even though the games are like 20-year-old. And Some people, there's one guy called Shuouma or something like this that's actually reviving all the old online Dreamcast game.
Oh, wow.
It's like the first, not the first console, but let's say it's the first console that came with a modem that was like intended for player to connect to the internet and play together.
Okay.
And this guy, like year after year, revives like one or two games. And I actually played a bunch of them, and it's fun to get with people that are so stoked off that console and play with them.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, that's super cool. So going forward, you're saying that you're getting a bit more of an interest in filming and getting back into snow skating a bit. Now, there was a project that you kind of referenced earlier, Hair Club.
Yeah.
Are we ever going to see the Hair Club snow skate project see the light of day?
No. But I do want to get back into filming, not necessarily snow skating. Mm-hmm. But I recently bought a pair of DVX 100.
Okay.
The same camera that I used to film in, I think it would have been True Color and Taste.
Okay.
In the idea of hacking them again, like it's another sort of hack project where I don't know if you're familiar with the Andromeda DVX project.
No, I'm not.
It's this hack that was pulled in the early 2000s again, where basically what they did were they were able to like tap directly into the DVX camera sensor to be able to bypass the whole mini DV encoding and basically be able to get the raw imaging capabilities of the camera. And back then they were recording it like on a laptop that was in a backpack.
Okay.
But now with like most recent technologies, you almost be able. My idea would be to be able to record straight to an SSD.
Okay.
And I don't know. I'm being interested in cameras again, but from a different sort of more new media / hacking perspective, where I'm interested in the idea of an imaging device more than like. What I'll produce out of it. I don't know.
Sure.
It's a weird conceptual approach maybe, but I might put some clips online at some point in the near future of something.
Sick. Well, we'll be looking forward to that, and you know, if it happened to be snow skating, that would be even better. I would love to see another awkward video one day. I'm not holding out hope. I'm not putting any pressure on you, Rob, but if it happened, I think we'd all be stoked.
Well, I'll at least try to have a clip or two, maybe a snow skating clip. Yeah,
sick. Sneak a clip into the next Ambition video, maybe.
That'd be great.
Oh, yeah. I want to bring up, not to hype up the snow skate source. I mean, I'm not trying to promote what we're doing here, but you sent a very positive email about the snow skate source when we were talking about using the music that I want to read to everyone here, because this is probably the best email I've ever gotten.
Go ahead.
So I got this out of the blue from you directly to my personal email. Hello, dear President. This formal communication is to inform you that after reading the Sava Retro Report, the Awkward Board Commission has fully approved Snowskate Source as a reliable, safe, and insightful source of Snowskate content. Please accept our kind regards, and may the Ice Lords keep you safe. Signed off as Master Crippler.
I forgot that I was so
good. I want to like print that out and just frame it, put it on my wall, like a daily inspiration. Just so good.
Wow. That's some straight awkward fun times right there.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, that made my day. So good.
Wow. Actually, just not exactly on that note, but do you remember that video where I was basically just like shitting on everyone in the snow skate game?
Yeah, the Rob Hates Awkward video. Yes. Yeah. I don't think that exists anymore, but I would love to see it.
I'll try to find it because, I don't know, those type of like persona that, I don't know, there's something funny with talking about the, like being the president or whatever. Yeah. I don't know, there's something funny about all of that, I don't know, that I miss sometimes. This goofiness is actually not so much part of my daily routine anymore, but definitely enjoyable.
And it seems to have kind of dropped out of snow skating, and maybe that's my perception and I'm not just seeing it, but there aren't people like you making stuff like that anymore, right? It just seems to be like Ambition putting out projects, which is great and they're awesome, and that needs to happen, but there doesn't seem to be that many independent creators other than manufacturers that are making boards. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm. Well, I remember, like, I think Phil Moreau was doing some sort of, like, weird video as
yes.
well at some point. Like, I can't remember what the name of the...
Yeah, Levo Lou. I'm probably saying that wrong because I don't know French.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Something about, like, the old wolves or something. Yeah, yep. Something like this.
Yep.
I remember seeing some of that. That was kind of fun, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I don't even know, like, do people even put out video outside of companies? Like, are there some crews around that are committed to the filming of snow skating?
Not a lot. There's that Russian crew that's been making a full-length video every year. Big shouts out to those guys. I think it's Dmitry. Yeah. I don't know his last name. Not off the top of my head. But that whole crew is sick, and they're really good at snow skating, too.
Courageous. Yeah.
But but other than that, there really hasn't been that many full-length videos or anything outside of, like, Instagram. And, you know, I guess you can, you know, browse the anybody who's tagging Ambition, Hot Dish, Icon, and look at that stuff, or tagging Snowskate, which is cool because that's a quicker way to, like, get Snowskate content. But And this isn't me bagging on Instagram or social media or anything, but I do think it kind of takes away the desire to film a full-length video and save those clips and put it towards something when you can just post it as, you know, an Instagram clip or put it on your Instagram story and have everybody see it like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're also in the era where Insta gratification is more important, or actually just easier to get than actually working your ass off toward a actual montage at the end of the year. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still consume a lot of skateboarding this way too, just like following my favorite skaters online. But I don't know. Those small bits can be fun, but the good old, like, you know, try to make a compilation and give the whole thing a vibe, I think. Well, I guess was my way of doing it because the media were different back then. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, and there's pros and cons to both. But yeah, that's definitely a bummer to see. And again, maybe this is just my perception, but the lack of those full-length or year-long projects that ultimately come out in snow skating, it is a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, definitely. And
Rob, this has been sick, man. Anything else that you want to bring up or talk about before we wrap up?
I think I just want to give like a big thank you and a big shout out to everyone that I've ever snow skated with, like either from the Ambition team or my good old buddies, like Dom, Dave, Josh, people from Toronto, Jensen, Jamie, like Evan, everyone. There's too many names actually to name everyone, but I don't know. I think I'm just happy to I've been in this snow skate bubble for the last hour or so and had to put my brain into this mode. I don't know. It's been super nice. I don't think I have anything to add really.
Okay, no, it's all good. Anyone else you want to shout out to, thank, anything else?
Shout out to you guys for
thank you.
Keeping the high quality content available for all the young people out there and the old people, the snow skate dads, the snow skate grandpas. No, I think you're definitely making a good job trying to put quality content out there for all the snow skaters.
Oh, and, thank you.
Yeah. I think just a major shout out to everyone I've ever snow skated with, as generally as that.
For sure. Anyone else you want to throw under the bus? Do you want to pick any fights before we sign off?
Yeah, I will take on Nick Stefani shirtless.
Sick. You want to take on Braden Yoy at the same time?
No, my beef with Braden has been done for a while
now. Oh, we're done with the Braden beef. Okay, just Stefani one on one.
Actually, I'm gonna apologize to Braden Yoy for the beef that I started.
Okay, this is the public apology right here. Go. Okay,
here it is. Yeah.
But I will take on Nick Stefani shirtless.
Okay, both parties have to be shirtless. That's the condition of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, okay.
Are we gonna see an edit of that?
Hopefully.
All right.
Awkward 2020. That's what it's going to be.
There it is.